Did you inherit $1 million from your grandparent, or are you about to become wealthy from someone else's hard work? If you say yes to these questions, this show is not for you. You, the hardworking, committed, and ambitious professional who have a 9-to-5 corporate job or a 12-hour shift worker keeping the assembly line running. Perhaps you run your gig as a freelancer, or maybe you run a small business. You are in the right place. Welcome to the Career Evangelist Podcast, where you get your weekly tips, ideas, strategies, and inspiration to find purpose in what you do so you can build a career you are passionate about and live a fulfilled life. Here is your host, Bola Alabi.
Hello, everyone. It's awesome to have you guys join us here again today. And it's another special episode of the Career Evangelist Podcast. I'm excited today because we have another guest with us. We have Danielle. Danielle has helped hundreds of people to build millions, you know, to go from their current situation to build millions and achieve success in their life. So I know that $1 million is a big deal to so many people. And some of you, it's a huge stretch. Some may think that they can never attain this mark. So my guest today, Danielle, is going to give us some insight on how to move to millions. Without keeping you guys waiting any further, I'm going to bring in my guest, Danielle. Hey, Danielle, how are you doing?
I'm so excited to be here. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Hi, everybody.
I like that. I like the energy. So I want you to please introduce yourself to my listeners so that they can know what you do.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, I am a God girl and I'm unapologetic about it. I believe businesses and careers go farther faster when they have a spiritual foundation. And so in my work, I integrate spiritual principles with business growth strategy to help entrepreneurs become million-dollar CEOs. We work with clients that are stuck in what we call the millions messy middle. They know that they have $1 million business or $1 million brand, but they haven't realized it yet. And so we get under the hood of their business, so to speak, to identify the gaps that currently exist, and we turn those gaps into gateways so that they can make, move, and ultimately leave millions. I also do a small subset of work in corporations. So for those of you who still work a 9-to-5, and most of that work that we do in corporate is around leadership or talent development, really teaching you how to understand the significance of how you see yourself and how you see yourself actually is going to impact the way you lead. If you're in a sales role, how you sell and how you show up every single day within inside of the organization. So we leverage those same mindset principles to help you to explode your growth inside of your career.
Okay, I completely love the way you introduced yourself. You are a God girl.
I am.
Unapologetic about it. Same as myself. I'm a God boy.
A God guy. Because you got to make the alliteration, right? You're a God guy.
God guy. I love that. I love that. So specifically, I want to hear from you how you transition, because you also mentioned corporate. How you transition from corporate to starting your own business, and how you've been helping people? Tell us that story.
Yeah, so I worked in a Fortune 500 financial services company. It does not exist today. It was bought in 2005 by Bank of America. I was there for 12 years, and I literally woke up one day. Now, let me back up. I thought that I would work at the bank forever. I thought that I would retire and they would give me my watch or whatever one gets when they retire from working in a bank. I had no idea that there was an entrepreneur burgeoning on the inside of me to get out. So I was in my career and I was engaged to be married. And 3 months before my wedding, my ex-fiance confessed that he had gotten another woman in our church pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah. Oh, wow. So as a result of that, you know, the bottom kind of fell out of my life and I was moping around for a while. And one of my good girlfriends eventually was like, enough is enough. And she took me to a Mary Kay skincare class. And so by putting that product on my face, I literally watched my life transform. And for the first time ever, I had visions of entrepreneurship, right? I'm a big advocate for when you work in corporate America, having your own side job, having your own side business, having something you do, because the fact of the matter is, at any point in time, corporate America could decide that you no longer work there and you don't ever want all your eggs to be in a basket. So I had started building my basket with Mary Kay Cosmetics. And I literally woke up on December the 19th, 2004. The knot in the pit of my stomach became a lump in my throat by the time I got to work. I quit my job. I did not have a plan. No plan. Had no clue that that is what was going to happen. But what I realized in that moment is that I was willing to bet on me. And I felt like if it didn't work, I was marketable and I would be able to get a job, but I would never know if I had what it took to truly be an entrepreneur unless I stepped out on faith, right? Faith is taking the first step, as Dr. Martin Luther King says, without seeing the staircase, right? Or as the Bible says, faith is recognizing that it's about what you can't see. It's that hope for things and the evidence of things unseen. That's faith. And so I'm like, if I'm not willing to bet on myself, then I'm no good even to this company. Because when you work for someone else, you are the competitive advantage that that organization has, right? They're only as good as their people. That's why we do leadership and talent development in the work that we do inside of corporations. And so I was willing to take a chance and bet on me. So I quit my job, no plan. I said, well, while I figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up, I will work my Mary Kay Cosmetics business full time. And so within 5 months, I was picking up my first pink Cadillac.
Wow.
I went on to grow my Mary Kay unit to 500 beauty consultants and become number one in my national area, number five in my state of Delaware, the only Black woman driving a Cadillac in my state at the time. Awesome. I did that for 2.5 years. And then God kind of tapped me on the shoulder, as he does sometimes, and said, ma'am, I didn't have you quit your corporate job to do what you wanted to do. I had you quit your corporate job so you can do what I want you to do. And so that was the point at which I started Incredible One Enterprises. My company is named Incredible One Enterprises because I think God is incredible. And if we were created in his image and likeness, that makes us incredible too. And if we would leverage our incredible to just help someone else realize theirs, this world would be an incredible one. And so it's corny and it's cheesy, but it's my truth, right? And I haven't looked back. I think that it was the best decision I ever made. I did go back to work for a period of time, just because, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing as an entrepreneur. I was winging it, and eventually the bottom fell out of the business. And so I took a job in order to restabilize myself. But I don't regret walking away. I don't regret trying business. And I'm glad, because today I'm officially unemployable. I run a multiple million-dollar company. I have full-time employees that work for me. We're an Inc. 5000 company. Like, none of that would have happened if had I not been willing to bet on myself. I loved corporate America. I would never trade it. I think it was a perfect training ground for anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur, because you learn skill sets that if you're a teacher or a nurse, you won't have coming into entrepreneurship, which will lengthen the amount of time it takes you to experience whatever level of success you desire.
Oh, that's a lot. And that's so good. I love everything that you've just mentioned. I love this your story of transitioning from corporate America to Mary Kay to building Incredible One Enterprises. So that's awesome. And I'm proud of what you've accomplished. I like to hear stories like this, everything that you just shared with us. Now, Incredible One Enterprises, you have a 7-step to 7 figures, right? Mm-hmm. 7 systems to help people build 7 figures. Can you please tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I believe that systems make millions predictable, right? The more we can automate, the more that we can be clear about what happens when we take specific steps, the more predictable we can make our revenue. And predictable revenue is the name of the game if you're in business, right? And so what we recognize when we were working with clients, and even as we were first building our business, is if you don't put systems in place, it almost means you're starting over from scratch. And so I'm going to share the seven systems, and then I want to parlay this and how this could work for employees, people who are still working a corporate job, how you could set up systems and infrastructure that could also help you to make seven figures. I actually have a client named Bridget. She just quit her job. I've been working with Bridget for 10 years.
Wow.
For 10 years. She just quit her job. And at the point at which she quit her job, she had a thriving side business. Or I'm sorry, the point at which she was working her job, mm-hmm. she had a thriving side business that did $250,000 every year.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
While she worked a full-time job. So you might listen to this, like, oh, it's not possible for me. Well, if you believe it's not possible for you, it's not possible for you. But if you believe anything is possible, then it could be possible. I mean, if we just take a look at the word impossible, mm-hmm. it's the word I'm and the word possible.
Possibly. Yeah.
You are possible. It is possible. So here are the seven systems. So we want everybody to set up a general operations management system. So how you govern your day-to-day within your business or within the organization where you work. Then we want you to set up a marketing system. Now, your marketing system, when you're an entrepreneur, is going to include your messaging, your branding, and what you're putting out into the world so that people can self-select into your ecosystem and learn about your products and services. Well, when you're an employee, your marketing system is your personal brand. It's your leadership skills. Mm-hmm. It's the way you show up in your role that gets you on projects and gets you up for promotions, right? The third system is your sales marketing system. As an entrepreneur, it's the process that you utilize to go from contact to paying client. Mm-hmm. When you're an employee, it's the process that you utilize to position yourself for the next opportunity. You're still selling yourself. Sales is something we're all doing every single day. So no matter what our title is, we're also a salesperson, right? The next system is your client management system. So how are you managing your clients when you are an entrepreneur, the people who are investing in themselves through you? How do you manage that from onboarding to renewal and everything in between? Well, when you're an employee, your client management system is your customer management system. And it's your internal customer, the people that you work with within your organization that are centrifugal to the role that you play. But then it's also your external customer and how you're relating to them, how you're creating an environment for them to get their needs met through the solutions that you and your company offer. Then we have your talent management system. These are the people that are supporting your efforts every single day in order for you to do what it is that you do. As an entrepreneur, these are the contractors and employees that help you in your company. As an employee, if you're a leader, these are the people that are part of your team, that are part of the process that you deliver to the organization where you serve every single day.
Right.
Then we have a financial management system. Your financial management system is how you manage the money. That's going to start with money mindset, right? Because the way you see money is really about the way you see yourself. So seeing yourself and seeing money different is going to allow you to be able to manage lots more of it. That what we have to keep in mind is when we think about adults in the United States, 60% of them live paycheck to paycheck or client to client. These people are the people working in organizations and dealing with money or dealing with sales every single day. So if you can teach them how to see themselves and money differently, they will sell and show up better within your organization. And then the last system is your legal management system. When you're an entrepreneur, that's your contracts and all of that legal ease stuff. When you're an employee, it's understanding the policies and procedures and human resources that govern the role that you play within the organization. So no matter where you are, entrepreneur or employee, you need seven systems put in place if you want to get to seven figures. As an employee, you know, within your organization, you have the opportunity to invest in a 401k, right? Now you can do the bare minimum. I recommend you do at least the amount that gets you the corporate match.
Right.
And the way you set that up, when you have the right financial advisors, part of your financial management system, you could make seven figures in investments. I have a seven figure investment portfolio in addition to the other ways that we make money. Today I have an eight figure net worth. And it's because I integrate these systems and everything that it is that I'm doing. And so when we're working with a client, we want to help them to first establish what are the systems themselves, and then what do they already have, and then what do they need to put in place in order to allow that system to work for them so that every dime they make in their business doesn't have to come from their effort. Most of us were raised to believe that you have to work hard for money, but that is actually not true. That's right? Hard work doesn't make you money. It makes you tired. And so it actually goes against what money really is. Money is an energy that always flows. If it's not flowing to you, it's because you're not doing something or you're not being someone that has the capacity for money to flow to them. And so teaching this across the board to any professional is the fastest way to accelerate how much money comes into their life experience.
Okay. You know what, Danielle? I already feel like I should be your student.
Let's work together.
And if we end this episode right here, right now, I believe my listeners, they'll have something that they can, you know, learn from everything you've said. I wrote everything down, by the way.
Awesome. And
I love how you are, you know, making it. Oh, if you are an entrepreneur, this is how it works. If you are an employee, this is how it works. That's great. I love it. Love it. So thank you very much for sharing.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome.
With us. Now let's go to money mindset.
Yes, this is my favorite topic in the world to talk about is money. I love it. I love talking about it. And, you know, the first thing that I'll say, because I said I love money and somebody somewhere clutched their pearls. I cannot believe I said that because most people misquote the Bible verse, right? That says the love of money is the root of all evil. Most people misquote it. Right. But the other thing to keep in mind is what I always tell people is that the Bible was written in three languages and English was not one of them. So not only is it most mistranslated in the exchange of what people believe the scripture to be, because it's the love of money, not money is the root of all evil. Most people interpret it as money is the root of all evil. But the love of money, that phrase is really the Greek word avarice, which means extreme greed. So what the scripture is really saying is extreme greed is the root of all evil.
That's right.
God talks about money 2,300 times in the Bible. He talks about money more than he talks about heaven or hell, because money is important and money is not evil. Money is an energy that amplifies whoever you already are. So if you are an evil person and you get money, you will act and put evil into the world. If you are a benevolent soul and you get money, you will be put more kindness in the world. In that same scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6, further down in the scripture, Paul tells Timothy what to tell the rich people, because Paul is taking over a territory where people have money. Right. So it is not a sin to have money, and you can have lots of it. And here's what Paul tells Timothy when you have money. There's only three commands. Number one, don't be arrogant or high-minded. Number two, do good deeds. And number three, don't forget the source of your wealth. That's the mandate if you have money. Be good to people. Don't be arrogant. And remember that God created that wealth for you. He gave you the ability to have it. So when we think about money mindset, and stop me at the point that you need to, because I will just keep talking because I love talking about money. Okay, so most of us are raised, and this is agnostic of religion. This is agnostic of race, color, or creed. Most of us in the United States, our country's culture is work hard, hustle hard, grind hard. So most of us as children were taught, or we saw, we perceived, and we caught lessons around money that are actually contrary to what money in it is and how money is to be used. And how money is to be articulated. I'm gonna go back to the Bible for one quick second, and then I'll get into some of the beliefs we hold about money that mess us up. So I'm gonna go to the parable of the talents. It's one of my favorite money stories. And if you don't know the story, let me break it down for you really fast. A master is going away. He's got three servants that he entrusts a portion of his wealth to. To one servant, he gives five. To one servant, he gives three. And to the third servant, he gives one. Now, he gave the denominations of money he gave them based on how he saw them and how he knew they would respond to the money. Two of the servants, the one who got five and the one who got three, they took the money and they multiplied it, because money was created to be multiplied.
Right.
One servant, because he did not see himself as a person who could handle having access to the money, buried the money in fear.
That's right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And as a result, when the master came back, the two who multiplied their money were praised and celebrated, and they were given more.
That's right.
And the one who buried their money in fear was ridiculed and harassed and exiled. Mm-hmm. So just with that right there, understanding three things. Number one, money was meant to be multiplied.
Right.
Number two, when you multiply money, there is a reward associated with the multiplication of your money. And number three, if you operate around money in fear, it leads to exile. No, that right there is a masterclass, but it goes against what most of us were taught as children, right? We were taught money is bad. And that is because for those of us who are religious and are Christian, Christianity is rooted in Catholicism. Catholicism says you are holy if you are poor, even though that is not what the Bible says, but that's what is taught in religion. So I'm an advocate, not for religion, but for relationship and understanding who you are to God and what he desires for you, so that you learn how to master and multiply money so that you can experience the abundance for which he sent his son. Okay. Now, because we were taught to believe that you have to work hard for money and money doesn't go on a tree out back and money is just to pay bills, most of us have to learn how to radically dismantle those beliefs in order to make more money. Case in point, your audience are mostly career professionals. You're the career evangelist, right? So this is what this looks like when you are taught about money and you go to work in corporate America. When you are offered a job in corporate America, you're given a salary. Mm-hmm. If you don't understand money and what money means and that you have the right to make money multiply and move, you will take whatever salary they present to you instead of negotiating your salary based on what you're going to bring to that organization.
Right.
That is a lack and scarcity money mindset that people don't recognize is impacting the way what they get paid. Listen, when I was in corporate America, when I first started right out of college in 1997, my job paid me $19,000 a year. Yeah. I had no idea at the time that the person sitting right next to me in the same exact job, many of them were making $30,000 a year, because I didn't know that I had the right to make money multiply. And so it created a dynamic that made me struggle for many years in my early career because I didn't make enough money to live the life that I believe that I was entitled to even then. How many other people are doing the same thing because they don't understand money, right? One of the reasons why I love to go into corporate America and do this leadership and talent development work, and we talk about money mindset in our work, is because people don't recognize that the way you see money is going to impact the way you do everything else. Mm-hmm. And we've got to shift the way we see money so that we can truly transform the earth. We can shake the planet. And so part of my work is helping people to understand their money beliefs and to radically dismantle them when they don't actually serve them. A lot of people are out here working really, really hard. But the fact of the matter is this, if you believe you have to work hard in order to make money, then you will not be able to make money unless you're working hard, because it's a belief that you hold that will govern the actions that you take.
Right.
But financial success is not about hard work. It's about alignment and embodiment. It's about an understanding and a belief that you deserve to earn in accordance to the skills and the value that you bring to the table. And most people, it takes them way too long to learn that, which is why they stay below middle class or even at the poverty line, because they don't take the time to understand money the way it was intended to be understood.
Okay.
I'm going to stop right there.
So already, like I told you the other time, I think you have tons of information that will be very, very beneficial to my listeners. So I don't want to break it, but let's take a step back. Mm-hmm. Earlier, you mentioned I think Bridget, a lady that you worked with, and how, you know, she was in corporate and she was building a side also while working in corporate. For most of my listeners, they would like to do that. I don't know if you have any insight that you can share with us on how to maybe find all these side hustle ideas or anything.
Yeah, I don't want to call it a side hustle because that's just perpetuating the belief that we have to work hard in order to make money, right? So semantics, but I think it's important to be said. So here are the steps that I would tell you to take if you want to establish another revenue stream. And there is nothing wrong with having a job. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't actually advocate that you quit your job until you know that you have a business you can sustain without that paycheck every 2 weeks. Right. So sometimes you've got to start it. I started my own business part-time, right? And so I'm an advocate for having a part-time business. So number one, you want to think about a problem that you could solve for people that they'd be willing to pay you for. That's number one. Now you can decide whether you want to sell a service or you want to sell a product. You have the right. But regardless of which you choose, it needs to solve a problem for people. Because the universal law of business says you need to find a group of people who have the problem that you solve that are ready to pay for a solution to that problem. If there is no problem to be solved, there is no profit to be earned. So that's number one. Number two, figure out for whom you want to solve that problem. Once you identify the problem, you will be able to find lots of people who have that problem. That doesn't mean you have to serve all the people. You want to figure out your ideal client or your target audience, right? So of all the people who solve that problem, which subset do you want to work with? That's number two. Number three is you want to create a solution. So what are you selling them to solve that problem? Quick, easy example. If the problem is helping people to stay hydrated throughout the day, then you might sell water bottles.
Right.
Right? So you need to go to a place where people probably don't have a water bottle to present them with your water bottle so that they could buy it so that they could keep water with them, like a construction site, right, as an example. Quick, simple example of right? So we're going to figure out a problem we want to solve, figure out who we want to solve that problem for. We're going to figure out what we're going to sell them to solve the problem. Right. And then step four is to figure out where they're gathering in large enough numbers that if you were to show up there with your solution to their problem, they'd want it. And then number five, actually sell them the solution. That's how you can get started. Charge, because this is additional money, I still don't recommend that you undercharge for whatever the problem is that you're going to solve. So set a goal, find a purpose for the money that you're going to make that comes into your side business, and then get out there and get started. Another, a quick example, let's say you work in human resources, right? You're a human resource professional in the corporation where you work. As a result of that, you've got a skill set around human and emotional intelligence that allows you to be able to relate to people in a way that makes them feel comfortable and confident coming to you and expressing the things that they need. That might be the perfect makings to become a coach, a life coach, a career coach, a human resources coach, but it might make the perfect place to become a coach.
Right.
Within your organization, as long as it doesn't violate any laws of what you can and can't do because you work for that company, you can identify a couple of people that you work with that you could coach to get to solve a problem or to get to their next level and whatever it is. Once you do that, then you do it for them, you get a testimonial, you can tell other people about it, you're making money as a coach, as a side business to your HR professional career. That's just two quick examples of how you can make it happen. It doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to overthink it. That's how you get started. I believe that God gives you more while you're moving than he will if you stand still. So get started and the path emerges, as Rumi says, as you walk it.
Get moving. So I could go on and talk about this for an hour, but I try to keep this to 30 minutes. So as we are wrapping up, I want to hear from you. What advice would you give an aspiring entrepreneur or business leader who is just out there and starting this journey and looking to achieve this success in their business? What advice do you have for them?
Yeah, first, I would get clear about what your goals are. What are you looking to accomplish, right? I think operating, working without a goal is a recipe for meandering and mediocrity. So set a goal, right? Purpose. Mm-hmm. Just like money needs purpose to come in, success needs purpose to come in. Right. So set a goal for what it is that you desire, regardless of what it is. Take the steps that you need to take to fortify your confidence in the goal that you set. Most people who don't achieve their goals don't achieve them because, number one, they don't have confidence in themselves. Number two, they don't have community. And number three, they don't have anyone guiding them, being accountability for them. So go and get coaching and community and accountability support to hold you to the goal that you've set based on the purpose you want to fulfill for bringing that into your life experience.
Good. Thank you very much, Danielle.
You're welcome.
Where can my audience find you?
Yeah. So if you'd like to learn more about me, I highly recommend that you get a copy of my book, Move to Millions, The Proven Framework to Become a $1 Million CEO with Grace and Ease Instead of Hustle and Grind. It is written for entrepreneurs, but there are practical strategies and implications in there for anyone who wants to grow and go to their next level. And you can find me by going to movetomillions.com. Once you get there, it's like a digest site. You can click, you can find me on Instagram, find me on Facebook, find me on TikTok, find me in all the places, as well as learn the resources that we've created to be able to support you on your own move to and beyond the $1 million mark.
That is so good. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right.